Our meditation this afternoon is John chapter 18, and I'd like to particularly consider with you verse 18. John chapter 18, verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. We note from this passage that, and even from the preceding chapter, that it was a cold night. It was perhaps winter, in which our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, agonized in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. A cold night, and yet we read of our Lord Jesus, he sweat. A cold night, and yet there fell from our Savior's face, as revealed in the Gospel, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. Dear Christian believers, dear brethren, as we are into this winter season, as we are experiencing this cold, as you prepare to celebrate Christmas, I would suggest, I would request you to remember the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the lone sufferer, all unsheltered, uncovered, entering into that dread anguish by which he won our souls from death and hell. I trust, brethren, this cold wintry weather would make us think, would make us ponder, would make us remember and recall that dark and dreary night, that doubtful night, when all the powers of evil and darkness met together, and even unto blood our Savior strove with them for our sake. And so right now, let us proceed from the garden into the palace of the high priest, as we see in verse 15. And went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, where this whole incident occurred, the trial of the Lord Jesus for crime that he did not commit. And let us, from this text in verse 18, draw a few lessons from it. We are going to make four observations from the text, and upon that fact that Peter was amongst those who warmed themselves at that fire. Our subject is warm outside, but cold. Cold inside. Our first observation from this text is, this is a typical circumstance or a typical condition of most people. A typical circumstance for most people. Here we see the Lord Jesus was being tried. And then what we observe? We notice that there are some people are very busy going about this business of prosecuting, of persecuting, of oppressing our Lord Jesus for the wrong or the crime that he did not commit. They were full of malice, burning with rage, burning with anger. They want to get rid of the Lord Jesus. And then also we observe among this group, or in this palace, there are many people there were indifferent. And they are in the presence of a rejected and maltreated Savior. They were carelessly, as we see from the text, carelessly warming their hands. It was not a matter that interests them.
They did not care.
They did not care whether Jesus was delivered or condemned or whatever that is going on per se. It was very cold, and so they warmed their hands. And so it is.
Is it not?
So it is in our day. So it is in our time. Not only in this country, but across the globe. Where Jesus Christ is being preached, it is a sad circumstances that there are individuals who oppose the Lord Jesus, oppose and reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, reject His offer of free grace and mercy. And then there is the infidel, those who deny the gospel altogether. There is this superstitious man who set up another way of salvation by works. And there is the persecutor who rages at Christ and His people. Do we not still find such people in this land and in many lands across the world? Yet these active enemies are comparatively few in numbers. The great number of those who hear the gospel are not open opponents, for they do know, and particularly those in this country and in the West, they have already heard the gospel. They are brought up with Bible stories. They attend Sunday school. They know there is a Jesus. They have some idea of His salvation, but it does not interest them or awaken any sympathy in their minds. What they are concerned is, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How can I be rich and prosperous, famous, well known? These are the great questions that occupy their minds and their hearts most of the time. But as to who this glorious sufferer is, and why he died, and all the blessing which he bought with his precious blood, none of these things move these people. None of these things stir in the hearts of these people. They forget, they neglect, they despise the great salvation and the Savior altogether. They are full of the business of warming their hands. The death of Jesus may be important to other people, may be important to you and me, but for them, they are not interested. It may concern the minister, it may concern the clergyman and the professor, but it is nothing. Nothing at all to all these people. They have other matters to attend to. They have their own comfort. Their own comfort is their main concern. And around that charcoal heater, the servants of the high priest warm their hands, and so in their temporal comfort, or in their complaining of the cold weather, most of these people, this is how they spent their lives, warming their hands with the things of the world, with no concern for their souls. To them, it is nothing that Jesus should die and Jesus fall. To them, there is nothing that Jesus should die. They have no care of this person called the Lord Jesus. They are more interested whether their wages will rise, whether there is a change in the stock market or the money market, which is far more important to them. Dear friends, you who are listening to this message, I trust you will think. Think of this over a few minutes. Any of you who have been indifferent to the great realities of redemption, the great reality of the Lord Jesus, of His gospel, of his work of redemption, of his coming again to judge the world, and see what it is and who it is that you are treating with so much discourtesy. It is the Son of God, the Redeemer of men, whom you neglect. Can you, dear friends, can you trifle in the presence of a dying Savior whose blood was dripping upon those who cast their lots upon his garment? Can you, dear friends, in the corners of your heart, play a fool with your own soul, warming your hands with the people of the world? Alas, some of you indeed have done so. Trifle with your soul, playing a fool with your own salvation. You have done it. You have done it for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. And unless the almighty grace of God prevents you, my dear friend, mark my word, you will continue to allow yourselves to trifle in the presence of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, as you walk closer and closer each day to the edge of your grave. The Lord Jesus is coming. He is coming, and He's going to come a second time to judge the earth in righteousness. And when He shall appear, my dear friends, when He will appear, no man knows. But when He comes, and before Him, every one of us, both goat and sheep, have to appear and must appear before Him. If we be alive and remain when Christ returns in His second coming, then we shall join in that great crowd of the redeemed. And if we fall asleep and go to our grave before His coming, we shall rise from the dead at the sound of the trumpet, which proclaims His advent, and all those who are in Christ will join with Him in heaven. And we shall, each one of us, shall be judged of the Most High. As we know, the hour of Christ's second return, His second appearing, is not revealed to us. Why? So that we may always stand ready in expectation, expecting it to be today, expecting it to be tomorrow. For Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." So, dear friends, how can you continue in your present state of money grabbing, of pleasure seeking, of enjoying yourself, of living your life busy, occupying yourself with the business of the world, living to be what is called respectable, and to feed yourself like the beast in the forest, that you live just for all the pleasures of this world? Have you no thought for the judge and the day of His coming? Shall our immortal spirit spend all our energy, our effort, our time trifling with temporal things of this life in prospect of that great, tremendous day when Christ with clouds shall come? Surely the solemnities of judgment should constrain us, should move us, should speak to our hearts, should stir us to think and consider something nobler, higher than earth and time and pleasure and comfort of this life. However, I must point out, we must not misunderstand the teaching of this text. For there is no harm indeed in warming our hands. no harm indeed in occupying ourselves with the things that is needful in this life, our work, our study as students, our responsibilities and duties to our family members and loved ones. These things are all not harmful at all, and there is a need for us to attend to it, and we ought to attend to our various responsibilities and see to it with great care, for we will be giving an answer to God for what God has so graciously endowed us with and blessed us. Surely we will have to give an account of that. And surely it is nothing wrong for us to go about our legitimate businesses. But there is something higher, something nobler and loftier for us to do than to serve ourselves and to live for ourselves. That we should be so heartless in the presence of the suffering Jesus. So is the widespread of indifference of sinners a terrible thing, a fearful thing. I wish, indeed I pray, that those who trifle or trifling with their souls, you who hear the gospel, that you might be startled, that you might be awakened, that you might be brought low, that you might think and tremble at the cross and cry out, what have I to do with this Jesus of Nazareth? Is his blood sprinkled upon me? Has Jesus cleansed me from my sin? May I hope for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh brethren, consider this, my dear friends, and ask yourself, what have I to do with this Jesus of Nazareth? Dear friends, while you have your breath, while time and opportunity is given to you or granted to you now like this, you're coming into this place to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel, remember, is another opportunity that God grants to you. Tomorrow may not come, but as it is given to you now, today, at this hour, to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel, consider it very carefully, consider it very cautiously, soberly, and give an answer to your conscience, and God do so with you as you shall think of Christ your Lord, your Savior. We move on now to the second observation. And here we observe that a disciple of Jesus stood with Christ's enemies to warm himself. Oh, dear friends, brethren, it will not be surprise to us, isn't it, for the high priest's servant to start that fire and to warm themselves, for it was cold for them. We should not be surprised at their standing outside to warm their hands as the whole trial of Jesus is going on. It should not surprise us, isn't it, that the people of the world should warm their hands and care less about the Lord Jesus. But should we not be surprised at their standing to warm their hands for a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and of all people, one of the 12? For the people, for the servants of the high priest, they knew nothing about the Lord Jesus. They had never tasted of his love. They never believed in his miracles. They have not been asked to watch with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have never heard Jesus say to them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee." They hear nothing of the gospel. They hear nothing of the words of Jesus or the teaching of Jesus. And even if they do hear it, they are not interested. It doesn't touch them. It doesn't move them. The amazing thing here is that of all people, Peter should stand among them, the enemies of Christ, warming his hands. And of course, by the way, let us not be too quick to point that finger at only Peter, or at Peter, and thinking that only Peter among the 12 is the one that denied Jesus. Do we not read in the other gospel what Jesus says? All the disciples left him. And even here in this chapter or in this book of John, though here you read of Peter and the other disciple, and we are quite sure that the other disciple mentioned here is John, yet all the disciples of the Lord Jesus, all the 12, left Jesus. So why did Peter do that? Why did Peter warm his hands with the enemies of Christ? Not because he was indifferent to his master. Let us do him justice. It is plain that he was in a very troubled state, a very dreadful state of mind at that time. He was so attached to the Lord Jesus, his master, that he followed him up to the door of the hall, and he stopped there until John came out and brought him in. He went to the fire to warm himself because he thought he must act and behave just like the others, so as to escape suspicion, so as to appear as one of them, so that he will not be found out. It so happened, in that sense, however, that the light of that fire lit up his face. And so one of them said to him, "You are one of his disciples." Then, of course, after that, he immediately gets away from being noticed. We find Peter passing into another part of the hall where the people were talking. And Peter, being an outspoken person, very likely, and also in pretense, trying to avoid being identified, join in their conversation to avoid being the odd one out. And then, as it happened, the other person in this group remarked, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" So the second time he was discovered. And of course, we know that from our reading of the gospel that the Apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. And so Peter was in a very terrible state. He did love his Savior, the Lord Jesus, but weak in his faith as he was. Therefore, he could not leave him. He could not leave the Lord Jesus Christ. Though his faith was weak, yet it is true that he did love the Lord Jesus, his master. But he was afraid to confess him. He was worried. He was troubled. Tossed to and fro between a desire to rush forward, to do something silly, rash, to save his Savior, and at the same time torn with that tension, a fear for his own life. He went to the fire because nobody would think that a follower of Jesus could warm his hands while his master, the Lord Jesus, was being despitefully entreated and humiliated. Brethren, do you see the gist of this illustration through Peter? Peter warming his hands with the enemies of Christ. The gist or the essence of this text is this, that for a disciple of the Lord Jesus to make his own ease and comfort, to suit himself, to find an easy way out, is clearly inconsistent with the Christian character. Dear brethren, our Lord Jesus has nowhere to lay his head, no permanent home like us. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. And so can it be consistent for us, the Christian believers, to make the getting of money, wealth, fame, our main business, our main goal in life, to warm ourselves with the things of the world and with the enemies of Christ, to stand with them? The Lord Jesus, our Master, gives up everything for us. He gave his life so that we, his disciples, shall be enriched. And shall we, in turn, enrich ourselves with the pleasures of this world? You see, brethren, some warm their hands not at the fire of wealth so much as at the fire of honor and fame. They want recognition. They want respect. They want to be noticed. They want to be recognized. They want esteem. And so they will do anything to gain it. Conscience is violated and principle is forgotten to gain the approbation of the fellow man, of their fellow man, the applause of man. Whatever happened, they must be respected and admired. So we ask, and we ought to ask from time to time, am I really a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is Jesus truly my master? My master who was despised and rejected, spit upon and jeered and mocked? Is Christ my Lord who made himself of no reputation? If so, how can I court the smiles of man and sacrifice truth to popularity? What can be more insistent? The disciple warming his hands and the master enduring the contradiction of sinners against himself. Dear brethren, let us take note. Every time our cheek blush with shame because of the taunting of the wicked one towards our Savior, every time we lower our colors because of the jeers of the godless, every time we are guilty at heart of the meanness of seeking to promote ourselves, every time we check a testimony because it would involve us in commendation, every time we fail to deny self, every time we are impatient at the suffering which the cross brings to us, every time we make provision for the flesh to obey the lust thereof, every time we seek our own ease and comfort, an easy way out, every time we seek honor where Jesus was put to shame, every time when we seek comfort and luxury when Christ endured and humiliating death, we are like Peter amongst the wicked rebels, warming our hands at the fire while our Lord Jesus is being stepped upon, spit upon, humiliated.
May the Holy Spirit of God keep us from this heinous sin of warming ourselves, of being warm outside but cold inside. We move on now to our third observation from this incident, is that a Christian who acts inconsistently will sure be found out. I repeat, a Christian who acts inconsistently will sure be found out. Here was Peter warming his hand, and he thought nobody would know him, but his face, as we have said before, was illuminated by the light of the fire. And what happened? The fire did not merely warm, but it threw light on him and showed him up. And so it is. So it is for a Christian. Gradually, as a Christian, as you get in close association with the ungodly, day by day, step by step, as you join in with their worldly activities, on the outside that seems so innocent and so, as what we commonly say, what's wrong with that? As you do that, remember, soon, your sin will find you out. Peter tried to look uncommonly comfortable, and he tried to look calm while at the fire, but he could not do it. He discovered himself by the twitches of his face and the very look of him. And when he spoke, the tones of his voice betrayed him. A Philistine helmet will not sit well upon an Israelite. He wears it awkwardly and is known, though in disguise. Ah, you Christians, you have better to keep your own company. It is of no use for you to try to disguise, try to put on a facade through this world, for it will detect you. The people of the world will soon find you out that you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, dear brethren, pray and plead for the Holy Spirit, for the restraining hand of God to keep you. Never go where you will be ashamed to be seen, for you will be seen. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. A lighted candle must be seen. A speckled bird will be noticed where no note is taken of others. The people of the world have very sharp eyes with which to spy out sinning Christians or Christians living in sin. And they are sure, the people of the world, you can be very sure, once they found out, they will broadcast it. They will broadcast your fault. They will publish it like in the tabloid. In vain, filter will be your attempt to pass yourself off as a stranger to Christ. I do not know him. Your speech will betray you, and the finger of scorn will be justly pointed at you for your inconsistency. Therefore, keep to your own company and walk not in the way of wicked, so as not to shame the name of your Savior, and do not be like David, gave occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. 2 Samuel 12:14. One final observation before we close, I want to mention very briefly, and it is the case for all of us, even for those of us who are born of the Spirit, regenerated by the Spirit of God. This is our case, as we observe the final point. Here we see, though Peter, yes, he was standing outside of the door warming his hand, but yet he knew. He can see inside. He saw,
how Jesus was being spat upon, humiliated. Yet Peter stood outside to warm his hand, even though the infinite love of Jesus, the time of spending with the Lord Jesus Christ, he experienced that. He experienced the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, and the blessing. But yet, that did not warm his heart. Brethren, we sometimes, isn't it? We sometimes wish we can have actually seen our Lord Jesus. But here, and that is why it goes against the belief of the charismatic and what have you, those people who believe in vision and things like that, thinking that by seeing a miracle, it will strengthen their faith, it will bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't. As we see here, Peter warming his hand outside with the enemies while his eyes were seeing what is happening to his Savior, that did not move him. Oh, my dear friends. So you see here, seeing Christ after the flesh is of little comfort to Peter. And so it is for us. You can have all this vision and whatever. Oh, the Lord spoke to me last night. I have all these kind of signs and wonders. It is of little comfort. It is what? It is when. And it is until the Holy Spirit used the glance of Jesus as a special means of grace that Peter's heart was taught and his eyes dropped with tears of repentance. It was when he denied Christ the third time and he heard the crow, and he saw Jesus turning his face and looked towards him. It was the Holy Spirit who used that glance of Jesus that melts Peter's heart and brought him to true repentance. And so therefore, brethren, let us pray. Let us pray, O Lord Jesus and Master, may you send forth your Spirit to come upon us, so that we shall see you by faith, and the sight will make our hearts burn within us, winter though it be. Come, Sacred Spirit, shed abroad the love of Jesus in our heart, in our soul, and so shall our love be kindled and burn vehemently. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, therefore, we pray thee, for thy love's sake. May the Lord help us.